Good morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. We've got a few of the visitors that are return guests, and we're very glad to have you. We're going to continue our series about biblical leadership, and we're going to continue looking at elders today. We have looked in generically at biblical leadership in the Bible, some of the constant principles that God requires of his leaders. We have looked at some of the individual leaders in the Old Testament. We've looked at some of the individual examples in the New Testament. And I think it was last week or the week before we started looking at elders, the requirements. The qualifications, God has never been elusive or secretive when he requires things of man. He's been very clear. When Noah was called to build the ark, God just didn't say, hey, I need you to build a boat. However you do, it's up to you. He's been specific. And we have some very specific qualifications and requirements in 1 Timothy and in Titus that we read last week. We're going to read it again this morning. Interestingly, I've broken it down into three kind of categories of requirements. One of character requirements, of personal character. One of family requirements, and one of spiritual guidance that is needed. For the character that we're going to look at today, they are absolutes. But I look at those qualities that God is requiring of elders, they're nothing more than whatever any Christian should have. Male, female, young, old, married, unmarried. It doesn't matter. God calls on us to have these good Christian qualities of character. He demands it for an elder. There's no wiggle room. There's no growth process. You need to be there. Not a process of you get to that down the road. You have to have these for an elder. Let's look at these requirements that God, through Paul, has given us. In 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Very clear, not obscure. Well, what does he mean by that? Very clear cut requirements. Very similar. Uses a few different words. Concepts are the same in Titus. And this was the passage that Micah read for us earlier. We appreciate that. Starting in verse 6, Paul would write to Titus, if a man is blameless, see that again, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Like I said earlier, I'm breaking these qualifications down into three categories. And we're going to look at that of character today. Some of these requirements fall into a personal character category. And like I said earlier, these qualities are nothing more than the average Christian should have, but they are required for a man that's going to serve as an elder. If one of the first things it says, he must desire the position. He's not thrust into it. He's not guilted into serving. A man needs to desire the position of service. Not desiring the title of I'm in charge. Desiring the position of service to God and to the congregation. Somebody that understands the sacrifice that goes into it. Blameless. Both in Timothy and Titus uses that word blameless. Blameless does not mean perfect. It means that when people throw accusations your way, and believe me, elders will get lots of accusations. They're like a referee. Any decision they make, somebody's going to disagree with it. I think it should be this way. I think it should be that way. Elders many times have targets on their backs. People will be very critical. It's not blameless, perfect, sinless. It's blameless that no accusations stick. Marshall Keble said, the old-time gospel preacher, he says, when somebody, you live your life in a way that if somebody accuses you of something, your friends wouldn't believe it and your enemies couldn't prove it. That's blameless. Where when accusations are thrown, none of them are going to stick. 1 Peter, and this is not above and beyond what a Christian should be. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter says that Christians are to be without spot and blameless. He's not talking about elders. He's talking about Christians. It is a requirement of us to live our lives blameless in God's eyes. And the reason we see that when Nathan addressed David after his sin with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 12:14, Nathan would tell David, "By this deed, you've given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You've opened the door to bring shame and reproach upon God, and you did it individually." And this position of an elder, they need to be blameless with Christians and outside also. They need to be temperate, pure, moderate. They need to be sober-minded, not driven by emotion. You see, some people, every decision they make is off spur of the moment decision. Not really thinking things out, living by emotion instead of truth. They're to be sober minded, of good behavior. Is that anything God wouldn't want of his children to begin with? For us to have good behavior, to be hospitable. Hospitable doesn't necessarily mean you throw some money in the Salvation Army collection plate. It's an attitude, it's a lifestyle that you live your life as a giving person, open to others. Not given to wine. Case closed. We see God's word in Leviticus 10 that the priests were not allowed to drink. And I've seen people say, well, that just when they go into the tabernacle of meeting. If you go on to say, it says that you may be able to distinguish what between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. It's not a light switch that I'm on duty as a priest, or I've got office hours as an elder. Don't call me after 8 o'clock. I'm sorry, family emergencies happen 24 hours a day. Elders, like policemen, are on call 24 hours a day. Could you imagine some of the things that people call an elder for at the oddest of times? A family is falling apart at the seams. The husband has done this, that, or something else. The wife is doing this, and they need help. Their teenage child is going through X, Y, or Z. They need you to come over to help counsel. I'm awful sorry. I've had a few, and I shouldn't drive. Can it wait till tomorrow? They're on call 24 hours a day. How can they distinguish between clean and unclean, holy and unholy? Not violent. God doesn't want a man that has to lead through violence. It's my way. When somebody disagrees with you, when somebody has a different idea, that you lead through intimidation. Not greedy for money. Not always, but a lot of times elders are sometimes connected to having the ability to have access to the church finances. Are they good stewards of God's money? They're not greedy for money. People shouldn't be greedy for money anyway. That's covetousness. They should be gentle, not quarrelsome, kind of going back to the violence. Not covetous. A good testimony among those outside. You have no authority over them. Why do you have to have a good report with people outside the church? So they can glorify God. Somebody at work finds out you're an elder. You are an elder in your church? The way you talk? The things you talk about on the lunch breaks? The language you use? You're an elder in your church? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16, let your light, he's talking to Christians in general, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You don't have to broadcast it. They can see your behavior and glorify your Father in heaven. Not self-willed. Not driven by what I want, but what does God want? Driven by God's word, not your word. Not quick-tempered. It's amazing how many of those are related to temper and anger and self-control. A lover of what is good. Just. If God's people see any quality in God himself, it's just and self-controlled. These are qualities every one of us, young, old, male, female, it doesn't matter. As Christians, we should aspire to grow in those qualities. But for an elder, it is required. We saw the principle. The principle. Elders have nothing to do with the priests of the Old Testament, but yet they do everything. Connection. Not all Levites could be priests. But the priests had to be Levites. Case closed. Not all Christians are going to have the opportunity to be an elder. But elders have to be strong Christians. Next week, we're going to finish up looking at these qualifications. We're going to look at the qualifications of family and the qualifications of spiritual guidance. This has been an interesting study that we've had over these last few weeks. Hopefully it's been enlightening to you. Every time I study it, I'm seeing principles that God wants us to see. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. There may be those of you that are not Christians, that have not put your Lord on in baptism. If you have not done that, you have the opportunity to do that today. I haven't looked over there, but I'm assuming there's still water. There, last time I looked, there was plenty of water in it.
Yesterday.
Okay. There's even clean water, Don says. They changed the water yesterday. Thank you for that. But if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can do that. If there's sin in your life and you need to repent, don't wait any longer. Don't keep trying to run that race that God has put before us, dragging sin in our lives behind us, trying to be an effective Christian with sin. Repent now. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.